Hi, my name is Elise. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from shame and pride. Hey guys. There's a quote in Step 2, Believe, that says, when tragedy strikes, some people abandon their faith, others redefine God's character, and others still experience their closest moments with God. I'd like to tell you a time when I wished I could have abandoned my faith. I certainly questioned God's character, and I eventually experienced my closest moments with God. I knew John 3:16 before I knew the Pledge of Allegiance. I was given a strong spiritual heritage and professed my faith in Christ publicly by the age 9. I'm not sure anyone had to teach me to people please. That came quite natural for me. And no one had to teach me to hide my ugly either. My self-image rose with accolades and plummeted with disappointments from others and in myself. I always felt inherently too much and not enough at the same time. I satisfied my need for intimacy with romantic escapades since middle school. If I had a man on my arm, then I believed I was worthy of someone's attentions and affections. I could cognitively explain the cross and salvation, but there seemed to be a huge disconnect between my head and my heart. I was terribly insecure and selfish. I couldn't love or serve my friends or boyfriends because I was using them as my source for satisfying a personal need. A breakup put me in region a little over 3 years ago. I was sure that he was the one that was going to make me whole. So when I found myself in that same ditch of loneliness and depression, I gave up convincing myself that I knew how to love God. Finally, I sought God as my only hope. I was practicing short accounts and true accountability through community for the first time. And shortly after finishing Regen, I accepted the invite to move for the purpose of a ministry internship. It was a very fast 3 months. For Labor Day, I had spent the holiday on a road trip with a friend, and while traveling, I received a phone call. Whilst away, the board of the ministry had met, and due to certain uncontrollable events, I was not to return as initially intended. Instead, others would pack my things and bring them up to me in Dallas. My home, my job, my church, my purpose, as I knew it, were no more. Shame was a well-known tenant of my soul, and he came back for an extended stay that day. I was always able to attribute my experiences with rejection as direct consequences for my behavior. But this time, I couldn't blame it on a sin struggle. I had signed up to give my all for the call of Christ and felt turned away by God himself. I came home, except it wasn't home. Nowhere felt like home, and no one felt like home. I didn't know how to tell people I was back because I wasn't back. Somewhere between Tennessee and Dallas, I lost myself. It was like being tossed about in a wave, at the point of confusion where up could be any of the innumerable degrees available, and the overload of options perpetuating paralysis. I feared being asked any of the anxiety-ridden questions that plagued my mind, like, why are you back? Where are you going to live? What are you going to do? So I retreated into my shell where I was accountable to no one but myself. Darkness became comfortable. It was the only way I knew to make the unknown and the inexplainable acceptable, to reside in a place where nothing was known or explainable and everything was acceptable. I retaliated at God the way an angry teenager acts out at an absent parent. I had looked at all my good deeds that I championed as little trophies for the Heavenly Father to be proud of me for, and when it seemed like he still didn't notice me, I took those trophies and threw them against the wall of morality. Being good got me nowhere, so why not give in to the unending temptations to do whatever I wanted? Did you know, that a lifeguard is trained to approach a victim from behind. Sometimes they even have to knock the individual unconscious. This is because panic can cause a victim to drown their rescuer. Dear friends were caught in the wake of my destructive tantrum. Those who knew me best would tell you I didn't see myself. I was quick to anger and unyielding in my pride. Throughout this dark night, I couldn't let go of my belief in God himself. Now, granted, I became instantly angry when I would hear about God on the radio, and the Bible became a space maintainer in my book bag that remained uncracked for months. But I couldn't explain God away. It wasn't a question of whether or not he was real. He was always real, but what was he? What kind of God was he? My conversations with him sounded like, I was so sure you called me to move. Did I not hear you right? Or did you knowingly send me somewhere that you knew would leave me broken? And if you knew that that would lead to all of this, then why did you allow it? Did you not want me near you? Is my broken heart beyond the reach of your compassion? All of these questions and more were screaming deep down within my soul. And the longer I kept quiet, I lost sensation from within and pushed everyone away from without and felt desperately alone. An old friend was getting married, and I was invited to participate in her wedding. That weekend, I spent time around people I had once called friends. Together, their light was an alarming contrast to my decorated darkness. The whiff of caring community was like the approaching aroma of a hot plate to a starving man. I began to hunger and thirst for a hope that I had not allowed myself to want for some time. It was like a distant memory that was becoming clearer. I distinctly remember the ditch of comparison I'd begun to unearth in my mind when I came face to face with the question, what would I have done differently? If I could go back 10 years and change one tangible thing, what would it be? My first attempted answer was no men, but I laughed at the misfire. I knew that was a surface symptom of a much deeper issue. Then the answer made way, like a morning fog that dissipates with the dawning day. I would become a daily, diligent student of the Word of God. I would have submitted myself to the persistent pruning of the master gardener. I would view the sharp sting of the blade as the scalpel in the hands of the physician instead of the malicious sword of the enemy. And I knew that that was going to be my same answer 10 years from now. It was something that I could start to participate in right then in the parking lot of Starbucks. I knew that I needed people alongside me because it was quite clear that destruction came from my isolation. But more than anything, I needed to remember the God that I had known but too quickly questioned when the pain felt more real than his promises. I didn't come with any trophies in hand. I had none to offer. And truth be told, I still don't. Jesus says in John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I am currently and forever in an active relationship with the God of the universe. It's a relationship I have to really work at keeping real and raw and authentic. I'm learning how to choose him and his ways over myself and my way every moment. I'm learning what Paul means when he says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It's been a process. a process some others may have gone through in their own way, or maybe in the middle of themselves, a process not uncommon to some who may feel unique in the worst kind of way. He didn't answer all my questions, y'all, but I realized he's okay with my questions so long as I'm okay with his purposeful silence at times. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm so much closer than I was. And it's because I'm learning how to be close to the God that I knew of, but always resisted to truly know. If you have questions, y'all, he's not afraid of them. If you have hurts, you don't have to hide them, not here. If you feel unseen, unheard, and misunderstood, this can be a place to be seen and heard and understood. It's okay if you're not okay, and it's okay to dare to hope that there is abundant life to be had in Christ. My name is Elise. I have a new life in Christ, and I am still recovering from shame and pride, and it's all because of him.